Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad that you're here, whether you're here with us in person, and we have a great group today, or whether you're tuning in online. My name is Pastor Brian, and it's a joy to be worshiping the Lord together. Now, let me talk just a little bit about where we are, because this is kind of a bit of a unique Sunday. Typically, what we do is we go through a book of the Bible. I'm a big fan of some solid exegesis, going through chapter by chapter, but we are taking a few weeks to kick off our fall and to start a new chapter of ministry here at Trinity. And we've said this, Trinity Baptist Church is over 153 years old, and that history is amazing. But what is true of me and what is true of us together is that one of the most important questions that we have to answer is, what does God have for us today? What does God have uniquely for the body of Christ represented here? What does God have for us today? And so we've been talking through, and we've talked through kind of our mission here. Why do we exist? You know why Trinity Baptist Church exists? To help people worship God, grow together, and make a difference. See, that's really what God has called every church to be a part of. However you want to say it, however you want to slice it, that's really what every church is about. This journey of showing off the glory of God in such a way that as the Spirit of God moves, people come to know Christ, they use their giftedness to build one another up, and then they make a difference. And we've talked about a couple weeks ago this idea about worshiping God. And let me just say this. I am an evangelist at heart. I love talking to people about Jesus. If you know Jesus, I love talking about it. If you don't know Jesus, I love talking to you about it, right? I love talking to people about it. And what we say is this. How do we actually make disciples here? Well, it starts with this. Do you know Jesus? And if you do, then join us in worshiping him. And if you don't, I'd love to talk to you about it. We would love to talk to you about it because I tell you it will change your life. But it's not just about coming and being a part of an impactful service or coming and worshiping. That's a great starting point. But the Word of God challenges us to be people who are using our giftedness to help each and every one of us grow together. See, we talked about this last week. It's a bit of a hero flip, right? It's not the person on the stage is the person who does it all. Quite the contrary, actually. Ephesians talks about how you are using your giftedness to build the body of Christ up. Do you know what your gift is? We talked about that. And today what I want to talk about is this kind of last step. If you know Jesus, we want you to join us in worshiping him. And then we'd love for you to find a way to be in community so that you can be using your gifts and benefiting from other people using their gifts as we build one another up. And then we want to make a difference. We actually want to be a people who do more than just kind of live our lives looking at our shoes and doing whatever benefits us most. See, the Bible actually challenges us. That says one of the core things that you are called to do is to make a difference. Now, we're going to be looking at an amazing passage. You heard it read in a couple of different languages, but it comes from the book of Micah. So I invite you to turn there this morning. Turn there. I guess I should say type there. I don't know who still uses a hard copy. Not many people. Matt is. Way to go, Matt. Good job, sir. Analog. He is analog over there. That's great. However you do it, turn with me this morning to Micah chapter 6. And I want to ground this discussion in really one of the most high point peaks of theology within the Old Testament. This is really an amazing spot. Look at Micah chapter 6 and start in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. See, this is what the prophet is asking. What can I do What can I do? What can I give? What sort of actions do I need to do? Things I need to accomplish to have God be pleased with me? I mean, is it about, you know, I just need to bring 1,000 rams, or if I bring this much oil, or even what if I sacrifice myself or those that I love? What is it that God actually wants? What does God want from you? And what I love about this question that the book of Micah poses for us here is because it really challenges what is a very, very popular opinion about religion. Right, it challenges this idea of a transactional relationship with God. This idea that, you know what God wants? God wants my money. That's really, if I'm giving my money, then God's happy with me. You know what God wants? God wants me to be kind to the person that's sitting next to me. And then God's happy with me. Right? So many of us grew up with this idea, this transactional sort of religion, right? You know, God is happy with actions, right? And the best way to, a good bellwether on this to tell whether we start in this mindset or not, is how do you feel about yourself when you fail? You know what the tendency is to go, oh, wow, boy, God is so unhappy with me right now. You know, God is up there giving the galactic huff, you know, his arms are folded, he's looking down and just kind of, right? But see, it's so tempting to fall into that. And Micah challenges this in an amazing way and goes, hey, you know what? You can never bring enough sacrifice to be in a right relationship with God. Let me put it in our terms today. You can never be a good enough person on your own to be in a right relationship with God. See, we live with this idea, there's kind of this scale, right? And we hope that we do enough good things that then God's happy with us, and maybe when we die, we'll go to heaven. But oh, look out, what if it's on this side here? But that's not actually what the Bible says, right? What God communicates is that it's not this transactional, if you do enough, then I'll be pleased with you. And Micah poses this question, what does God require? What needs to be done so that God is pleased with me? What if I could sacrifice everything I could think of? Would it be enough? No. And that's the profound theology of Micah. No. What is it then? Look, if it's not this pouring myself out and everything that I have and all that I could do and this sort of all the externals that I can pile up into one giant column right here, if that is not enough, what could possibly make God pleased? Look at this next verse, one of the most iconic verses of the minor prophets here. He has told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? That is what God requires of you. And you go, wait a minute, I mean, what about all those thousands of rams? I mean, isn't that impressive? Oh, what about all these external things? Isn't that really what God wants? He has told you, right? This is not the first time that the Israelites heard this when Micah was speaking. This is not the first time that we have heard this when we're reading the Bible. Throughout the Bible, right? Throughout it all, God is saying, I am expecting more than external obedience. There must be a foundational change on the inside. There must be something that is going on in your heart and in your spirit. If you are relying purely on externals to impress God, I am so sorry to say, it ain't gonna happen, okay? It's not gonna happen. But what does God require? See, God has already talked about this. He's already told you. What does the Lord require? Justice, mercy, humility. And you know what's different about those things? What's different than a 1,000 rams piled up in sacrifice? Justice, mercy, and humility are things that stem from a heart that's been changed, are things that stem from a life, a character, a soul that has been transformed and is displaying the character of God to all who are watching. So you know what God requires? God requires only what God can provide, a radical rebirth of the Spirit that puts on display the characteristic of God. Now, let me say, this is, I have about once every 6 weeks a message that's going to make some people angry. So this is one of those times. If you're a guest, you know, you can come back next week. Let me just say a couple ways that this tends to fall short for us as a society and culture in general, okay? Just in general. When we talk about justice and to do justice and to love mercy, right? Notice the words on that there. To do justice and to love mercy. You know, there's two questions that make us fall short of this, that show this. I'm all about stacking up 1,000 rams about impressing God with actions while my inside remains dead. Here's two questions that stall us out on this topic of what does it look like to make a difference in our world through justice and mercy? And the first one is this: am I winning? Am I winning? You know, when people think about justice or this is how I want things to be, you know what most people stop at? Is this going to be good for me? Is this going to be good for me, for the ideas that I hold dear, the communities that I love, the structures I want to see in place? Did you know that is what almost our entire political system is built off of, right? Who can promise the most to the most number of people? And I don't really even care what affiliation you're picking, right? That is the premise of what we're doing here, right? Am I going to help you win? And see, we look at this and we go, man, how do we make a difference? How do we care for this broken world? How do we make change? And so many of us, we fall short because it's about winning, right? Culture wars, preferences, who's my group, and are they improved by this situation? But that's actually not justice, right? That's transactional. Quid pro quo. This for that. You know what the Bible calls us to is biblical justice, to make actions, decisions in line with the heart and character of God, even if I don't win because of it. That is what God expects. Justice, not winning. Justice. The second question that makes us fall short of this, right? If the first one is, am I winning? You know what the second question that we often trip up on this is? Are they worthy? People, we live in a broken culture, a broken society, and we look all around us and there's opportunities for us to do good, to actually put the justice of God on display. And sometimes we stop at this. Are they really worthy of that? I mean, did you see what they did? Did you know about the choices that they made? I heard this, I saw this, I think this. Are they worthy of justice? How many of us stop there? And we can, you know, there's a lot of things to take into this, but let me tell you, at the root of this, do justice in line with the heart of God, not in line with any particular agenda, right? In line with God's agenda, that is justice. And then to love mercy. Think about that for a moment. To love mercy. And just one chapter later, Micah 7, the Bible says that God delights, he delights in mercy. All right, this Tuesday is my son's 8th birthday. Way to go, Elijah, surviving 8 years. Good job. Think of it in this. How excited is a kid for their birthday? How much do they delight in opening up and just the joy that they have over a gift? Imagine that is God delighting in mercy, not begrudging. Not sitting there and going, fine, one more time. God delights. He delights in mercy. Do you delight in mercy? Do you delight in not holding people to what their actions deserve? Or do we stop at this question? Are they worthy? What does God desire of you? Is it 1,000 rams stacked up high? Or is it displaying his character to the world around us? He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. You know, the question is not primarily and foundationally, it is not about, is this winning for me? Are they worthy? You know what this is about? At the heart of it, am I worshiping? See, when you are doing justice, when you are loving mercy, you know what you're doing? You're displaying the character of God. You're worshiping a God who dearly loves justice and loves mercy. And see, the question is this, church. It's not how many people have I helped this week? Because you know what? If I stop and I give that person a dollar, or if I stop and I help that you know, old lady across the street, then God goes, okay, good. You know, you're doing 50%. Keep it up. You know, it's Tuesday. You got time. I'll see if I'm pleased with you this week. That's not what it is, right? It's actually a heart that is transformed by the power of the gospel and putting on display what God values, justice and mercy. And when you do that, you're actually worshiping God, right? We don't serve others. We don't make a difference in our community just because it's a good thing for that person. And I'm glad it's a good thing for the people we help. But that's not actually the primary reason, right? Because it's not as much about them. It's really about worshiping God and having this character and this nature that is transformed. And people who have been transformed by the gospel are people who are transformative for those who are around them. You know, Trinity, this church has for a long time been making a difference, right? Different times, different eras, different ways to say it. How are we going to make a difference now? And I tell you, I want to give some really like pointed directions on this, because here's my fear, right? As a pastor, sometimes you can get these messages where it's like, go and change the world. And everyone walks outside and they're like, okay, where do you start with that? I mean, you start with lunch, I guess. I don't know how you get, you know, I mean, so I really want to drive us from our theology of this, right? And the theology is that God has called us to be a people who pursue justice, who are actually, they love mercy. You look forward to opportunities to be merciful, like our God who delights in mercy, and that you walk in humility with God, worshiping him, resembling him, and showing that same grace and compassion. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. That is the heart of God on display, and the heart that he wants in his people. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to make a difference? And I mean specifically like we, this room, this fall. Let me just give a couple of ways that I really want to challenge us to make a difference. We talked through this whole process, right? We've taken a year to go through what is unique about this church. Like what's the DNA, the unique things that God has put in place for this congregation? Because look, every church is different, right? Not every church is perfect, right? We're one of the few. If you saw that on Google, I wrote it. It's actually not true, okay? We're not perfect, right? But every church is unique, and they've got different people. You're in a different place of town, and God has a unique mission for this congregation. I really honestly believe that. And then we talked about and met people in groups. We listened to our district representative just to get the city's perspective and what is the city saying needs to come out. You know what was so consistent over almost every group that we had? These things came out as just a passion for the congregation. Immigration, homelessness, and Rwanda, right? Three things that this church specifically is passionate about. And let me just say, as a side note, you go, but aren't there a million other things? Absolutely. And if you're passionate about it, I really hope you pursue it. But I don't want us to be so paralyzed by the world of things that need to change, we don't actually take steps. And these are things that this congregation is uniquely passionate about. Our ministry in Rwanda, I'll talk about that a little bit later in the year. Homelessness and immigration. Let me just show you something really, really cool here. If we can look at our next slide. Did you know that one of the first missionaries that this church commissioned in the 1890s, well, we're not even talking the 1990s, people, and that feels like a long time ago, okay? In the 1890s, her name is Mary Melby, and you know what she was commissioned to do from this church? To go meet the immigrants who were coming in on the boats to New York City. Isn't that amazing? Right, that this church has had a heart for immigration for like way before it was cool. In the 90s cool, in the 1890s cool, okay? Right, this church has had a passion for caring for those who are coming from a different place, stepping off the proverbial boat, and it wasn't even a proverb then, like literally stepping off the boat, and going, where am I and what does God have for me? Right, this church has continued to have a passion for that. And let me talk about some ways that we can actually be a part of it and ways that we can take part in it this fall. I so hope that each person finds a handhold on this today. So let me point out just three different opportunities. The first I want to talk about is the Open Door. It's a ministry. It's connected with our friends at Hope for New York that provides English classes, different services for the immigrant community. You can actually be a part of this and be teaching English. You go, wait a minute, Brian, do I have to have like a degree or something? You don't. You can just be a part of actually having virtual English conversation classes with people and actually helping to set people up. One of my favorite ministries that we did in Dallas was working with the refugee community. And let me just say, being able to navigate the culture that you live in is just an absolute game changer. It will open up the world around you as a very tangible way to help with the immigrant community here that this church has valued for a very long time. A second way I want to talk about is the Bowery Mission. Now, the Bowery Mission is huge, and we've had a long-standing partnership with the Bowery. In fact, during the pandemic, we were able, by the grace of God, to make a large financial donation because right now, I don't know if anyone has noticed, homelessness is becoming this out-of-control issue. Many people are experiencing housing insecurity in all various forms. And this church has partnered with the Bowery for a long time, particularly with the Women's Center. And also, I want to highlight one new opportunity. The Bowery actually has a tutoring program in partnership with some schools in Harlem, where you can either once a week or once or twice a month be a part of sitting down with a kid and doing some actual tutoring. To be a part of helping people who are in a very difficult situation. You know what's crazy to me? Right? I don't know how many of you guys know the mess that the school is right now. And let me tell you, I just want to say an amazing thank you to all of the teachers, all the educators, all the administrators. Can we just say thank you? This is an incredibly difficult time, and just to even very tangibly take steps to be a part of people who are on the cusp in insecure communities and families that are experiencing homelessness or they're in shelters. Can you imagine the difference it makes in somebody's life? Just to say, hey, it's good to see you this week. What can I do to encourage your education? What can I do to help you where you are? Church, that's the sort of hands and feet making a difference that we're talking about, right? Not simply platitudes, but actually doing the work. And you know, Hope for New York, I love Hope for New York. They have connections with ministries all over the city. If you go, man, Brian, I really hate teaching English. I would be like the world's worst tutor. What else can I do? We're going to point you to some resources through Hope for New York because they have an incredible amount of ways that you can take part in various types of ministries all over the city. Look, however you choose to do it, however you choose to take part, let me just say, it is the heart of God for you, for us, to pursue justice, to be so in love with mercy that you delight when you see it, and to walk humbly with your God. That is the heart of God on display through you. That is what God is calling us to do as a church. Will you do it? Worship God. Grow together. Make a difference. Now, I promised you at the start of this thing when we talked about how do we think about making a difference and how we make disciples. I promise it'd be so easy you could write it on a cocktail napkin. And again, I'm not endorsing cocktails. But again, I'm not endorsing them either. I'm just leaving that out there, okay? That's we wanted to make this in a way that's memorable and something that we can all grasp onto. How are we living out the mission of God as a church in this season? And you know, just a very simple, pragmatic way that we wanted to help you remember this. We actually have these t-shirts. Here, I'll spin around for you. Here on display. We actually have these t-shirts free for everybody here today. They're on the table out there. Let me encourage you to grab them on your way out. We don't have children's sizes, but go ahead and grab them on your way out. Because I tell you what, church, 153 years. What an amazing history. Looking back and seeing this church ministering to people as they walked off of a boat and going, what does God have for me? Like I tell you, we live in a city that is asking that question today more than ever. What is life going to look like? Is there a God? And if so, what does he have for me? Church, God has uniquely equipped you to be a part of inviting people to worship God, to growing together as a congregation and making a difference. I believe it in my heart. May it be so of each and every one of us today, amen? As we close, and as the musicians come up, I'm gonna close this in prayer, but I do want to invite you not only to grab your cool swag, we got t-shirts out there for you, please don't forget to grab them, but I also wanna invite you to join us for a picnic. We are actually going to be having a picnic in the park. If you want to join us, you don't have to bring anything. You can just grab some food on your way. We're going to meet at the 69th Street entrance to Central Park. We had a great crowd last time, and I encourage each and every one of you to join us. Let's all close in prayer today. Father in heaven, what challenging words. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord desires of you. And it's not rams, it's not oil, it's not even self-sacrifice. But Father, what you expect is what only you can give. A changed heart, a changed life. God, may you change our hearts today. May your spirit be active in this congregation. May your word be faithfully preached. And Father, I pray that lives will be changed. Because of people who are putting your heart on display and making a difference in this world in which we live. Father, may it be true of us for your honor and for our good. We ask this in